BBC Audiobooks presents Get Up and Do It, read by the authors Beachy and Josephine Coakley.
Hi, I'm Beachy.
And I'm Josephine.
Change, whether good or bad, can be stressful. And our natural reactions are often fear, anxiety or resistance. One of the big reasons why we often think about change and then do nothing. We need to understand more about ourselves in order to foresee our blocks and self-sabotage and deal with them effectively. Some people are so afraid of failure they don't even try, so as they won't have to face up to things going wrong. They've already written the failure script.
Get Up and Do It will put you in a can-do frame of mind so that you can stop sabotaging yourself and start to do things differently. The more you feel like a success, the more you will behave like a success, and the more you will be a success. We will share case histories of people we have worked with and invite you to try out exercises which will help build your confidence and motivation. We will urge you to explore the misunderstandings and misjudgments that sometimes happen when you set out to achieve your goal. Some people see a problem as a sign that the goal is not achievable. Successful people, and you could be one of them, know that problems are important staging posts along the way. You can't abdicate responsibility by saying, "It's bad luck, I'm just not lucky." You have to take charge of your goal. It's yours and you have to drive it over rough ground on occasions and not give up. May your journey be an interesting and rewarding one.
Achieving a goal is not primarily about willpower, aptitude or skills. It's more about self-image and the messages we send ourselves. If we can visualise the outcome of the change and believe ourselves deserving of it, we are much more likely to get there. People label themselves as those who do and those who don't, and negative beliefs pretty much determine a negative end result. But anyone can challenge and change their self-labelling. All human beings find change difficult. The degree may vary, but our reactions are similar. You may have been exposed to changes in the workplace that result from reorganisation, redundancies and so on. Can you remember how you felt? There can be fear, resistance or anger, as well as feelings of powerlessness and loss of control. Even with positive changes such as promotion or a house move, there can be similar feelings. Everyone will feel a degree of resistance. Life, however, is about change. Birth and death are big ones. Besides these two, divorce, marriage, moving house and changing jobs are among life's more stressful experiences. Fear can often come from thoughts such as, supposing I make the wrong decision, supposing something better comes along, or the really big fears, supposing I fail and supposing I'm wrong. Did you notice how often I mentioned the word fear? F-E-A-R, it's a very interesting acronym, false evidence appearing real. That's false evidence appearing real.
Think about something that you are fearful of. We will use the example of failure because it is a very relevant fear. Jeremy wanted to learn to drive.
I'm very embarrassed because I'm 30 and I've never even sat in the driving seat of a car. I was brought up in a big city and I always found the traffic very intimidating. Well, I've decided to learn to drive because I want to change my job, and not being able to drive will be a negative. When I think about driving, I feel really fearful. I can actually picture myself on the day of my test and how miserable I will feel and how my friends will laugh at me.
Notice how Jeremy has all of these negative pictures created by his fear. Not only does he have negative images of something that hasn't even occurred, but because those pictures are so vivid, he even has the feelings he would experience if that event was a reality. These pictures are the false evidence. They are very powerful and create strong feelings, despite the fact that none of it has happened. Sometimes we can find ourselves stuck in all talk and no action. Think about a goal that you recently had or one that you can remember with some clarity. We talked to Peter, who is in his 30s. He said,
I have a goal of starting my own business. I have a very solid business plan, which has been put together through a lot of hard work and discussions with peers and friends who have given me some useful input. I find, though, that I am talking and have been talking about doing it for over a year now, and I just haven't moved it forward. I found it did move along whilst I was doing the research and the practical discussions, but something has happened and I just feel stuck. Having done a lot of talking and some action, I have ground to a standstill.
Despite doing brilliantly in carrying out the research and considering all the practical aspects, something was holding Peter back. The more we talked to him, the reason became clearer.
Something that really holds me back is the fear of failing. You can probably see that I'm a very practical and methodical person. I've done lots of preparation and done my sums, so to speak. The next stage feels to me as if I am putting my fate in the laps of the gods. So I suppose I feel that the next bit is a bit out of my control and that scares me. Me going after my goal means me doing something that I don't like, I don't feel comfortable with.
Moving towards your goal will usually involve going out of control. Peter's experience tells him incorrectly that being out of control is always a negative, but it doesn't have to be. Now that Peter understands this, he is resolved not to be held back by that fear. And the very fact that he can understand what is happening to him actually makes him feel a bit more in control.
As you start to formulate your goal, you will need to be able to identify possible blocks to progress. Think now about some goals that you have had recently. If you did not succeed with your goal, ask yourself, how do you feel about taking risks? Do you have examples in your life that tell you whether you approach risks positively or negatively? Do you have an over-exaggerated need for control? Understanding that we all need to feel in control does not make you a control freak, but assess whether your need for control is too great. Think about strategies that you use in other areas of your life. Are you quite scientific, objective? Do you look at statistics or probability? This can be very useful under many circumstances, but there will also be times when it can hold you back. A good example is someone who tried to apply this to choosing a life partner. The strategy doesn't work because you can't get hard evidence of a successful outcome. You can only judge from how things feel now and project that into the future.
Our heads are never still. What we mean by this is that everyone is always thinking about something. Some of these thoughts almost sound like an internal conversation. For example, someone who is thinking about applying for a new job could be feeling all excited when that voice starts up again. Don't bother, you won't get it. Or, who do you think you are? That's a bit out of your league, isn't it? With such negative self-talk, having a different conversation is crucial. Think of how you have talked to yourself about a goal that you have had in the past. Make sure it's specific. Jane is a good example of someone who starts off positive and then starts finding the negative. She has been on every diet possible for a very short time. Jane has good positive discussions with herself, makes a start, and then the counter-arguments begin. This is going to be so tough. I'm never going to keep this up. Perhaps I'm one of nature's fat people. I'm useless at sticking to anything.
Why does Jane or anyone do this? Some would suggest that she is making excuses, which would be correct. Certainly there will be people who fail because they really don't want to make the effort. And it is important to acknowledge that achieving important goals often requires a lot of effort. That effort, though, can be well worth investing. Most of Jane's statements are firstly about her perception of how difficult sticking to her goal will be, and secondly that she is someone who can't stick to anything. We are sure that she has evidence to back this up, but we are also sure that if we challenged her by saying, "You have never really completed anything," her honest answer would be that this was not true.
Well, no, that's not true. There are some things I see through, but it feels like I never stick to anything that gets really hard.
Now that sounds very different, doesn't it? Let's look at the perception of a goal being hard. The smoker who has given up will be preoccupied with how many hours it has been since their last cigarette. The dieter will be obsessed by how little they have eaten and how few calories they have had. All of it will feel very difficult and stressful, and there will be feelings of deprivation. There will be questions like, how much longer can I keep this up? Positive self-talk, choosing your words carefully, is crucial here. It is almost impossible for you to feel motivated if you consider that you are depriving yourself or suffering. This is the kind of talk that will get you back into the situation you're trying to change. You need to be talking to yourself about the positive, rather than counting the hours and the minutes since your last cigarette in a negative way. You need to learn to reframe it and make it positive. Lucy hasn't smoked for a week. We asked her how she's feeling.
Well, it's been 168 hours roughly since I last smoked. I'm not really feeling very good. I'm feeling very tense, really wondering if I can keep it up.
We talked to Lucy for a while and asked her if she can say something positive or say the same thing more positively.
Actually, if I say I haven't smoked for a week, that sounds better. I can also tell myself that it is early days and that I am pleased I've got this far. Also, I really want to do it and I'm afraid that I'll mess it up.
When you're working on your goal, it is important to keep telling yourself as many positive things as possible. In Lucy's case, some positive self-talk would be,
I'm pleased I've got this far. I really want to do this. Haven't I done well for not smoking for a week?
If, for example, you have stopped smoking, talk about what you are starting rather than what you have stopped. Keep your focus on the goal, not the difficulties you have to go through to get there. You need to think about solutions and strategies. Understand that if you keep telling yourself that what you're doing is very hard, then you will understandably feel like giving up. So from now on, you need to talk yourself into completing your goal rather than finding opt-out clauses.
You will also do better if you have researched your goals. There may be some hard facts that will help motivate you through difficult periods. Many reformed smokers say that the worst times are during the first 7 to 10 days. Bearing this in mind, this is a huge clue that on day 5 of not smoking, one of the things that you need to say to yourself is that it truly will not always be this hard. In fact, you should congratulate yourself for completing the hardest bit.
This is me and I can't change is a statement we don't buy. We believe that everyone can make changes and we strongly encourage people to break negative patterns. Filling yourself with negative self-talk is a pattern that can be changed. You may have practiced and reinforced your patterns for years, so it is going to take time to change them, but it can be done. Stop making yourself into a helpless victim of something that clearly doesn't work, and start believing that you can change aspects of yourself that are holding you back. We are all creatures of habit with patterns of behaviour. That is fine if the patterns work for you. When they don't, people tend to condemn themselves with messages like, well, that's just me, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That is not true. As you move through your life, it makes sense to believe that you will have to find new ways of dealing with situations that may arise, and that your repertoire will need to be widened accordingly.
Don't misread anxiety as a bad sign. Most goals and the changes they can bring, or the changes that you have to make to reach a goal, can generate anxiety. Let's take Steve, who is thinking about changing his job.
I know that I'm not great about taking risks. I'm a methodical person who will think things through. I've been speaking to some agencies and looking at advertisements, and I'm pretty sure that I'm being underpaid by about 25%. There are also aspects of the organisation I work in that I'm not happy with. The agencies I have spoken to have given me job specifications that will use all of my skills and pay me more. But each time I think of taking that next step to achieving my goal, my stomach churns. I feel breathless, my palms sweat. I just feel really anxious. I think there must be something that is worrying me, but I'm just not facing it.
What Steve is doing is taking the anxiety as a sign that there is something wrong, or that he is making a bad decision. What he needs to realise is that feeling anxious about pursuing a goal is actually quite normal.
It is important to see your goal in context and understand your circumstances. You must always allow yourself to understand how your personal circumstances and you can impact upon achieving your goal and not compare yourself with other people. There will be times when not attaining a goal could be spelling out loudly and clearly that you may need additional help. If something repeatedly does not work for you, like trying to diet or cutting down on your drinking, don't ignore this. Some people's problems may need more support than we can give and get up and do it. Don't hear this as a negative. Just learn to be realistic. You are not a failure if you need more help. But know that you can learn from the experience of having the honesty and the willingness to confront a problem, such as depression or an addiction, and seek out professional help. If you are unsure, go and discuss your situation with your GP.
There are also circumstances that make it extremely difficult for people to find the time to concentrate upon themselves. You may have young children or elderly parents to care for. You may be under a lot of pressure at work and have to work long hours. There are many circumstances that are not excuses. They are a hard reality that can make achieving a goal very difficult. But don't give up your goal. Like any human being, you need a sense of fulfillment. Just be realistic in setting smaller interim goals and longer time frameworks. Sometimes people fail because they expect too much of themselves and set too high a target. Imagining your 80th birthday party is another exercise to help you think about your goals. Your family have thrown an 80th birthday party for you. You are asked to say a few words about your life. What would you want to say if you could choose the life that you would like to reflect back on? Here are Thomas's plans for his 80th birthday party.
First of all, I have to say that I look great. I have a perfect head of snowy white hair and I look fit. I'm still nice and slim with a good straight back. It isn't a big party because I don't like large numbers of people. But I have my dear wife, my two children and my four grandchildren. My brother and sister are there with my nieces and nephews and their children. It's fantastic. All the people I care about are there, and one or two old friends. When I make my speech, I certainly like to say how important my family has been, and that to be a good husband, father and friend has been something that I feel proud of, and that I've invested a lot of time in people and have gained enormously from it. I'd also like to talk about my contribution to working with young people and working for charity. I have always felt that I would feel good about my life if I could look back and say that I had given something. On a more selfish level, I'd like to think that I've had a few adventures in my 80 years. I like travel, and I suppose I'd love to look back and say that I have travelled extensively. I'd certainly love to say that I have been to India, Africa, Australia and South America. There certainly would be goals that I'd like to achieve. I'm just finishing my training to be a solicitor, so I'd like to look back and say that I was successful at work. You won't be surprised to know that I want to do something with family law, and that I hope to be able to make a difference to people's lives when they're probably at a very low ebb.
Take a moment now to imagine your 80th birthday party. Write it down in your journal. Now we want to invite you to picture yourself achieving your goal. This exercise is very powerful as you get to sample what your goal will feel like. To do it properly, you need to firstly be somewhere quiet where you won't be disturbed. Close your eyes. Think of the screen that you want to play the scenario on. It may be like a TV screen or even better, a huge cinema screen. Take time to create the scenario. Start the film rolling. Project what you are seeing onto that screen. Focus on you. See yourself doing whatever it is you want to achieve. Step inside that image and start to feel positive feelings of excitement, pride, increased self-esteem, awe. This is something you can keep doing to keep up your resolve. Play that video or film often and see yourself achieving your goal. When the image is nice and big and bright, step into yourself on the screen and feel those wonderful feelings. You may be more of an auditory person or find that some of your thoughts and experiences are driven through the hearing senses, like a radio play. Mark certainly has a strong auditory side when he is thinking.
I am genuinely very interested in words and like to listen to radio, so I don't know if that is why I often hear words very strongly when I'm thinking. When I am thinking about achieving my goal, I literally can hear people talking to me about succeeding. Well, Mark, you've been a bit of a dark horse. How long have you had this up your sleeve? It's tremendous. Fancy studying and completing an Open University degree and not telling anyone until you had finished. There is a lot of talk inside my head. I also do picture myself on graduation day. That is a very powerful image, but again I hear lots of things when I do picture myself. I also think about what I'd be thinking and saying to myself, the sense of pride that I would have.
Although people will tend to favour one sense more than another, there is bound to be a mixture of experiences as people play their goal through in their heads.
Here is an exercise called Taming Your Gremlin. This will help you examine just how much you can sabotage yourself and how other people throughout your life can have given you negative messages that have left you feeling very negative. Stop for a moment to write down in your journal the negative things you say to yourself. Example, I'm useless. I'm no good at learning. I never succeed. The negative things that keep people in your life, teachers, classmates, friends, parents and family, have said to you that have really stuck. For example, if your teacher said, you'll never come to anything, or a parent said, who do you think you are? Things in your life that have affected the way you feel about yourself. Example, if you were bullied at school or failed some exams. Do you have very set reactions to certain things, almost as if you are programmed? Example, immediately blaming yourself if something goes wrong. Your answers are useful pieces of information that the gremlin feeds on, because it is the negative side of you, the sides that doubt yourself, has low self-esteem and lacks confidence. What you need to do is stop feeding the gremlin. Instead, starve it by learning to be more positive with yourself and understand where some of the negative messages came from. A good way to gain a greater sense of awareness is to realize the ways we block or anchor ourselves. We experience our negative blocks as though we can't move them, but the truth is we can. Take a moment to identify your anchors and make a list of them. Say, for example, you want to change your job. You might be held back by the velvet handcuffs anchor, i.e. a big salary, good holidays, perks such as healthcare insurance or a pension. Also watch out for the unrealistic expectations anchor, as it can set you up to fall flat on your face. We often say to people that the number one cause of stress is reality for those of you who are not in contact with it. Stay in touch with reality. Don't set your sights too high, but set them just high enough so that you can see them and tell yourself that you're going to get there.
Let's think about the patterns and habits anchors. When you are always doing something the same way, you can fall into the trap of saying, this is how I've always done it. Nothing breaks habit like habit, so you have to work hard at creating new, positive habits to supplant the old. The perfectionism anchor. I can only do it if I can do it perfectly, is another very powerful block. The truth is that we rarely do things perfectly, and that is actually okay. Keep telling yourself that it is okay to do the best that you can. Also, don't compare yourself to others. We need to be ourselves and to give ourselves credit for our achievements.
Then there's the guarantees anchor. We would all very understandably like a guarantee. I can try this because I will succeed, but that is just not possible as there is so much that is unknown in life. If the lack of a guaranteed outcome is stopping you from making changes, you need to rethink. Moving forward is always positive, regardless of the outcome. Making changes and doing things differently will open up opportunities that you would be unlikely to encounter if you keep to your familiar pattern. Practical issues such as your responsibilities, duties and time restrictions are three things that can really hold you back. I can't do that. I've got responsibilities. If you are not prepared to take a different route, you must give this CD to someone else. We are not telling you to ignore your responsibilities, but we are saying that you must not let them prevent you from leading a fulfilling life. There are lots of very responsible people who take care of their families and also achieve their goals. The fear and anxiety anchors are two of the most powerful. We fill ourselves full of fear, but as you know now, most of it is constructed by us. False evidence can appear so real that we start believing it and tell ourselves that we can't do something. Then when we attempt to do it, we go against that fear that has been constructed and start to feel very anxious. Fear and anxiety are very destructive and also very controlling.
Another one to watch is the no luck anchor. The, if I was the only one in a raffle, I wouldn't win anything block. It is almost like a superstition or a done deal. I'm not lucky, and that's the end of it. There is nothing I can do to change it. You will even hear people say that they come from an unlucky family. Think about what this message does to you and how much it influences the decisions you make. You are telling yourself that you have no choice, no responsibility, and no influence. From now on, you need to believe that you can make your own luck. You are more in charge than you believe, and there is no reason why you shouldn't act like and become a winner.
The clutter and disorganization anchors also have a strong negative impact. If we are untidy on the exterior, we can be untidy with our thinking. We can be unproductive with our time management and poor at maintaining a good work-life balance. The no solution anchor is one of our favourites because we hear it so many times, and we have the joy of watching people's faces when they start to become aware that there are solutions. When people feel stuck, they say things like, "Everything is all right the way it is. I don't need to change anything. I don't have to attain new goals. There isn't a solution, so I won't try anymore. There is nothing that can be done. I'm not even going to try. It's not worth it." Remember the saying, keep doing what you're doing and you will just keep getting what you've got?
The mountain's anchor is the one that says, just look at the task ahead. Look at the size of this. I'll never be able to climb this. We'll never get over this. If a goal feels too great, break it down into manageable micro goals. The security at any price anchor is another anchor to be aware of. If I have security, then everything will be okay and I'm just going to stay here. We are not saying that security doesn't matter, of course it does, but don't let your need for security prevent you from expanding your horizons or doing things differently. Then there's the stress anchor. Stress is often mistaken as a warning sign not to proceed. Oh, it doesn't really matter whether I don't attain that goal because it is causing me so much stress. We believe that making positive change is naturally accompanied by some stress. Take some time to write down in your journal the thoughts you've had about the anchors that might be holding you down.
It is important that you take notice of the whole person concept. That is, take care of yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, socially and spiritually. This will help give you the strength to face the fears and identify the anchors that have been holding you back from attaining your goals.
We all know ourselves, but the depth of that knowledge and the attention to detail can always be improved upon. Teaching someone to be you for a day is a useful exercise. In your journal, describe your day as fully as possible, as if you are explaining it to a third party. This will help you become aware of the processes, thought patterns, habits and behaviours that you experience. You can do this exercise with a trusted friend if you want to. They can ask you as many questions as necessary so that they can explain back to you exactly what you do during your day. Let's think about empowering yourself. Perhaps when you were a child, you were exposed to a negative blueprint which taught you that something is not worth trying because it won't happen. Not only will you now have to work hard at silencing some pretty strong messages, you also will have to work hard at finding more positive blueprints from people you know or admire. We're sure that you've heard interviews on chat shows with very successful people who recall their school reports stating that they will come to nothing. Despite such negative messages, these people have found ways to believe in themselves and succeed against all predictions. We call these blueprints for success.
When you are working on a goal, the more you can keep it in the day, the better, particularly if you are struggling. Using positive self-talk can help. I just need to concentrate on today. So far I am sticking to my plan and that's good. If doubt set in, you need not only to confront the negative, but bash it with a positive counter like, I'm going to fail, with what's more, I'm going to succeed, or this time is going to be different because I'm going to make it different. Get yourself psyched up by telling yourself things like, I can do it, I'm going to do it, nothing is going to stop me, I deserve this, I can change and I'm going to.
Another key to achieving any goal is to be willing to accept that it is okay not to know things. People can feel afraid of learning because they're afraid they'll make a fool of themselves. When adopting a can-do frame of mind, you need to be willing to speak to yourself in tones that encourage and allow you the four permissions. These are to give yourself permission not to know, give yourself permission to learn, give yourself permission to make mistakes, and give yourself permission not to have to be the best.
The final stage of empowering yourself is understanding your drivers. Your drivers can be powerful positive forces and must be understood and harnessed to make them work effectively and productively. If not, they can hinder you and propel you backwards. You need to take responsibility in every sense of the word. If you have become trapped in the failure script, telling yourself I always fail, not only do you have to confront the veracity of the statement by asking always, but you also need to look at your part in something not working out. Take responsibility. Be the master or mistress of your destiny. Get powerful. Believe in yourself. Watch out for what we call safety drivers. These are the drivers that don't let you take risks. These drivers convince you to think all about the things that can go wrong and to start to fill your screen with those negative images and the feelings they bring up. Remember the saying, keep doing what you're doing and you're going to keep getting what you've got. In other words, if you want something different, you are going to have to do something different.
Here is a list of drivers to help you examine your own. Try to be honest with yourself about what drives you. Make notes in your journal. So these drivers are fear, anger, loneliness, love, trust, excitement, spirituality, status, image, self-esteem, financial gain, power, pastoral and human needs, authority, competition, defensiveness, relationships, sex, work, duty, satisfaction and affirmation.
Let's think now about the process of using your drivers effectively. Identify the goal. If you start to think about what could go wrong, ask yourself what negative drivers are in play. Challenge the negative thinking and get in contact with your positive drivers, such as excitement and achievement. Make a commitment. This will wake up several potential drivers such as obligation, duty, competition, and fear of failure, which can be used positively. Break the task down into stages so that you can drive yourself on each time you have completed another portion. This will help access your confidence, self-esteem, and satisfaction drivers. You need to decide right now that you are going to stop letting negative drivers get in your way. Keep fighting the safety and fear drivers. Remember, false evidence appearing real.
More planning, planning, planning. If you don't plan, then you are being very half-hearted about your goal, and we'd wonder what is stopping you. Alternatively, don't rush your plan. It is the foundation for success. Try not to make it too elaborate. Keep it simple and clear. First comes information gathering. We want you to listen again to the exercise on talking to your gremlin on track 17. Then go on to teaching someone to be you for a day on track 20. Finally, your personal inventory on track 21. And add anything necessary to your goal. Also, think again about your negative blocks, anchors, and drivers. Second, research and gather information about your goal. You may add to or amend your goal once you have sought more information. Third, set your micro goals, write them in your journal. Fourth, be SMART, S-M-A-R-T, at all times, specific, measured, ambitious, realistic and timed. 5, being measured and timed is particularly important. You need to set targets, probably on a weekly basis. If things feel very tough, do it daily. Make time frames. Make checklists. Plot your progress. And finally, build and maintain your motivation by using this outline. Remember to move back and forth between the steps as you plan. Use new discoveries to create the clearest goal and the clearest steps to get there. Don't be put off by new pieces of information that might mean you have to rethink. Use each discovery as part of your path to success. Don't be afraid of asking for help. If you are learning a new skill or building on an existing one, think about getting some tuition to give you the best possible start. Some people are almost phobic about being in a learning situation. They picture it as stressful and shaming. If this applies to you, why not consider giving yourself one more chance to have a positive learning experience? Why not break the ice by speaking to a tutor or teacher about your fears?
Beating self-limiting beliefs is often a long-term project. The sad thing is that we so often really don't know our own true potential. This could be due to negative experiences at school, which may lead us to tell ourselves that we are stupid and incapable of learning. To focus and finish, you need to be your own crowd, cheering you on to the finishing line. Imagine that scenario. What would they be saying if they really wanted you to cross that finishing line first?
Go on, you can do it. Don't stop, you're almost there. Just keep going, you're going to win.
Life is a journey, and you've probably noticed how quickly the journey is going. We don't have time to wait. We have to get up and do this. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the changes. And most of all, enjoy the goals that you're going to achieve.
Get Up and Do It was read by the authors Beachy and Josephine Coakley. It was produced by Jennifer Howard and is published by BBC Audiobooks.